4 and verse of Mark. How you doing, Seth? Not so good, huh? It's a mystery. We'll get there. I have the King James Version, so I'm going to read from there until we get to Seth. But before I do that, may I open in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time together. This is a precious time where we get to hear from you. Father, I pray that you would remove all of me and replace it with your Spirit, and that in the ears of my friends here, my brothers and sisters, and those that are seeking you, you would help them to put aside the worries and the stress that have come through the week, and that for just this short time together, we would only hear from you, and what we hear, we would retain, and what we retain, we would put into practice for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. 12 men, 12 Talmudid, 12 disciples. I want you to think about their fate after Jesus left. While they were alive, they followed the greatest teacher that ever lived. They followed the Savior. They followed Christ. After he left, their lives became adventures in faith, as have ours. And think of their end, just briefly, because their true end is eternity in heaven with Christ. But their earthly end were tragic and terrible. Each one of them, save one, were martyred for their faith. One died in his old age, John, but the rest, by tradition or by description in the scriptures, died as martyrs on the cross, by the sword, by beatings, by fire. And that is their storm, or as it's translated in the Greek in Matthew, the great storm is called a sea quake. And my title is, Are You Ready for Your Sea Quake? I hope. This way, brother?
Turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you. We keep pressing. I will read until we get it. Verse 21.
Carry on pressing.
Try now. Ah, there we go. This is Jesus speaking, and he said to them, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever's hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever's concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. That's what we're doing today. Let's listen. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be well measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. That's an important line. The sickle represents, from Joel in the Old Testament, the final judgment. Next slide. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God's like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. 20,000 of them together weigh 1 ounce. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. We'll talk just a little bit about gardeners back in that day. With similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. The other side is the east side of the Galilee Sea, which is all Gentile. So he's saying, let's go over to where the Gentiles live. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat, and there were other boats with him, and a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping in a cushion. This is the only time in the entire scriptures you hear about Jesus asleep. Next slide. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Just for a quick reference, turn to Psalm 62 if you have it in front of you, and I'll read it. I'm sorry, Psalm 65. This is verse 5, 6, and 7. These disciples may have known this verse. They were raised with the teaching of these Psalms. So in Psalm 65, 5, it says, "By terrible things and righteousness wilt thou answer, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are far off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power." And here's the verse. "Which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of the waves, and the tumult of the people." And then in Psalm 89, verse 8, "O Lord God of hosts, who's strong? Lord, like unto thee, or to the faithfulness round about thee, thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves therefore arise, thou stillest them." The Old Testament, God speaking, saying, God only can calm the seas when they rage. And they're in a boat where there's a raging sea, and they see the seas calm, and they have to think to themselves, what manner of man is this? And that's my question to some of you today. What manner of man is Jesus to you? Next slide. And the next. Thank you. Are you prepared for your sea quake? The narrative has begun, Mark 1 through 4. We've covered that together. Martin has preached through this. And we're trying to decide today who's in control of your life. Who's in control during the storms and when the seas rage in your life? Next, please. So as the story unfolds, and you've heard this all, Jesus has come. He's come from the desert where he spent time. He's now come onto the scene. He's begun to teach. He has chosen some disciples. He's started to demonstrate his power through miracles. And as he teaches, he is contradicting some of the authorities, or seemingly so, the Pharisees. He's demonstrating in this story who he is. And the first thing that he is preaching is not that he's going to raise from the dead. That doesn't take place in Mark until chapter 10. What he's preaching is the kingdom of God is at hand. And that's very important, because we, and are looking back, are saying, ah, the good news, the gospel is that Jesus has risen from the dead. Really, what he was preaching first is the good news is that I am here. I've come. And the kingdom is amongst us now. And the kingdom's close to you. I'm close to you, and I am that kingdom. What is the kingdom? The kingdom he's speaking of is not what they expect. They expect to have a king that comes that frees them from the tyranny of the Romans, but really, this king comes to set them free from their own storms. Amen. And the things in their heart, the difficulties that they have, what they're suffering, the misery that they're undergoing. They're not going to be relieved of the Roman tyranny, but what's going wrong in their heart and in their spirit and their mind, the things that they are held captive by, their addictions, their struggles, their difficulty in relationships, all the difficulties that they're having, he's come to set them free. And that's a message that's so radical and so different that it stuns everyone that hears it and listens. Next slide. Keep going. Thank you. He's come after John. He's traveled to be baptized. He's driven into the wilderness. The prophet is imprisoned who came before him. And he announces the new gospel, which is, the kingdom is at hand. The time is fulfilled. Thank you, Seth. Good. Can I get control from here? Will it work? Yes. All before the things that go wrong in his life, he is preaching that the kingdom is at hand. And he's saying to Israel, you can experience this kingdom. It's here. It's amongst you. And I will show it to you. And he says, seek first this kingdom before everything else. For everything else in your life, the food that you need, the clothing that you need, the housing that you seek, the position, the prestige, the money, the job, everything that you're seeking after should be after seeking this kingdom. Not the kingdom that you expect. And this kingdom work is in process. He's recruiting disciples. He's healing. He's exorcising demons. Preaching. All these things he's doing. And giving powers to the 12. He's called a tax gatherer. He's communed with the bad folks. He's forgiven sins. He's taught in the synagogue and he's challenging the conventional wisdom. All these things he's doing for a purpose. To show his authority, his supernatural power, his royalty, and that he is God. Jesus is saying, I am God among you. The kingdom's come. And he sets the Sabbath straight. We've talked about it before. He's gained popularity. He's been called crazy and deranged by his family. And he's dealt with these false accusations by those that love him. And he continues to teach and teach and teach. And as he's teaching, he teaches in these mysterious style, the style of parables, which can be understood by those who listen carefully. And to others, they're just cute stories. And that is his modus operandi. This is how I will teach. And he will teach to two audiences. A public audience, which includes his disciples, and the great multitudes. But he'll also take aside those special, those chosen, and teach to them in a very unique way. He'll shepherd them in their learning. The same is true for you and for me, if we will listen. And he has revealed, and this is so amazing, he has revealed to them the mystery that no one else has known. The kingdom has come. You too, today, throughout the teachings that you've received through your life as an older Christian or as a new believer or a seeker, there is a mystery that's been revealed to you in the scriptures, and that is the kingdom's come. What a gift, what a privilege to know the most amazing mystery known to man. Jesus is God. Jesus is King, His kingdom is here, and a greater kingdom is coming. I'm sorry about this. What does this kingdom consist of? Mostly unseen things like grace and mercy, peace, love, the Holy Spirit. And it's demonstrated by supernatural healing and exorcising demons. And the teaching that is so amazing that men stand in awe when they hear it. Audience 1. Audience 2. The 12. Now, there's something that you need to know a little bit. I never knew this about disciples. It's really interesting. This is the Aramaic for disciple. Talmudim. The Talmudim were the disciples chosen. But usually tradition had it that you, if you were interested in becoming a follower or a disciple, you would go up to a man who is a rabbi and you'd say, I want to follow Donnie. He's expert, he's skilled. I want my life to be patterned after his. Jesus turns that on its head, reverses it, and he decides to choose who will follow him. That should make you happy. Because he's decided to choose you to follow him. What a gift. So these men, the Talmudim, are chosen. They're not seeking him. And they receive his exposition, his teaching, and their desire, those that sought that journey, wanted to be like the rabbi. And now they are mentored very closely and become increasingly more devoted. They're young in their journey. They're just learning where they're going. They're trying to learn the lessons that he's teaching them, which is the kingdom's at hand. You can exist and minister into it now, and you must cast seed. There will be opposition, but there will be great fruit. And you must remember, the power is not in you. The power is in the seed, and the maker of the seed. Now we move into the scripture. This is what we're teaching, the lamp and the lampstand. Jesus is basically saying, I'm this light, I'm the lamp, and I will not be hidden for long. Very soon, everything about me will be revealed as time passes on. The king will be unveiled. And as he is unveiled, more and more things will become apparent to everyone. But listen, listen, my friends. If you listen, more will be given to you. If you don't listen, at your peril, it'll be taken away. What's the lesson for me? I have to spend time listening to Jesus. And the more I listen, the more I learn, the more I hear good preaching, the more that I will receive. If I decide to spend my time doing other things, I won't have the privilege of learning more. So following Jesus is not a casual faith. You can learn, but you'll learn so much more if you listen more carefully. And he moves on to the next lesson. He starts to talk about seeds. And what's interesting about the mustard seed, we've already said it's the smallest seed that they knew at the time. And it grows to be a great big bush. And in the United States, there's a bush that this is likened to called kudzu. Have you heard of kudzu? Which is a weed that never stops growing. And it grows and it grows and it grows in places you don't want it to grow. And this is an interesting statement because the Pharisees don't want this kingdom, this king, to grow in their place. They don't want him to infiltrate their power. So he is saying that you have this tiny little seed that will grow into something so big that it'll go places that people don't want it to go. And it'll become so big that the birds of the air will come into it. And the birds is a reference to the Gentiles from the Old Testament. So in his teaching, he's saying, you're going to cast this little seed, which is the kingdom of God. You're going to tell them about me, the king, and I will display myself on the lampstand. I will be so bright that people can't miss me who look and will understand me if they listen. And in will come this kingdom that grows on its own while you sleep. You can do nothing to make it happen. All you can do is cast the seed. It will grow mightily and big. And in will come strange birds. Gentiles. What another new mystery. This is a shock. These are Jewish people who think that they are alone members of the kingdom. They've been taught forever. I am a child of Abraham. The Gentiles are dogs. They'll never be accepted. And he's saying, strange birds will come into this big bush, and it will grow and grow and grow, and people will know who I am. And has this not come true? Throughout the world, it grows and it grows and it gets bigger and bigger, and we as men and as people who think we plot and scheme, we get to the point where we think, we have the formula. If we do this, it'll get bigger. If we do that, it'll get bigger. No, he's saying. You go to sleep. You cast the seed. Go to sleep, and I'll make it grow. The Mishnah, which is Jewish teaching, says, and this is not the exact Hebrew, I just found some Mishnah Hebrew stuff, and it basically says, don't plant a mustard seed in Jewish Palestinian gardens. It's one of the rules, one of the many, many, many rules that are taught. Don't put this seed in your garden, because why? It's like kudzu. It's going to grow over the garden and it's going to make your garden a mess. And as you know, and as I've come to learn, and as those who attend and follow in the faith, a lot of times the garden gets messy. And there are some strange birds. I am one of them. We have a garden that continues to grow and grow and grow in places that we can't believe it goes. And the people that come in are sometimes strange and weird and desperate and lost, like me. And it continues to grow and get bigger and bigger despite itself. And this is the mystery that he's revealing, that it's going to grow on its own. And everybody around you is going to say, don't do this. Don't follow this man. Don't follow his teachings. Because it will ruin our beautiful garden. The Pharisaical garden. The kingdom work. The disciples, the Talmudim, these 12, they're hearing him teach. They're seeing him interact with the religious authorities. They watch him forgive sins. They watch him heal. They watch him cast out demons. And they may even start to hear of the rumors, we must get rid of this so-called king. And as disciples who have then dedicated themselves to the rabbi, they will follow him through thick and thin. They're going to know, because he's radical and what he's saying and how he's behaving, there's going to be some bumpy, bumpy times. It's going to be difficult. There'll be exhilarating moments, there'll be fearful moments, and there'll be risk. And indeed, as his disciples it may be life-threatening to follow him. So basically he says, hold on guys, it's going to be a bumpy ride. And right after this teaching, Mark says, that night, that evening, they get into the boat to go to the other side. Now, I won't steal, I think it's going to be Pastor who's going to take chapter 5. I won't steal his thunder, but you should know that as they go to the other side, which is the Gentile side, they're going to be met by who? The demon of Gadara. A raging man after a raging sea. So he's going to show them two very, very beautiful, amazing lessons. First, the kingdom's come, the mystery's revealed, I'm the king, you're going to follow me, it's going to be rough, it's going to be difficult, and there's going to be opposition. And I want to show you that no matter what you face, and no matter how difficult, I am in control. So what do we talk about? These are boats, little fishing boats, the way they designed boats back in the day, low down here on the hull because you had to yank in the fish, right? So you got this boat that's rickety, it's got a little sail on the back, it's got a place where the helmsman can guide it, it has a pillow so that your bottom doesn't have to sit on the hard wood. You have a nice little pillow, you've got a low, and that's, there's a word for that, but I don't know it, the hull. And now you've got a problem. Mount Hebron is the mountain in the back. The sea is 700 feet below sea level. So when the cold air from the mountain meets the warm air that's rising, over the Sea of Galilee come some amazing storms. And by amazing storms, we mean whoppers, big time, big waves, high winds, and you're going to have a tiny little boat which probably already has some water in it. So when things start raging, that boat's going to easily go down quickly. And imagine, it's nighttime. So not only are storms on the sea bad enough, but now you can't see a blessed thing. It's pitch black. So it's black, it's raging, you're going to this boat, water's lapping in, the disciples are in there, they're heading goodness knows where to the side of the Gentiles, of all things, and he's asleep on the pillow. It's the only time that we hear that he's asleep. What's the lesson? There's the boat, dragging in the fish over that low side. See how close the water is to the edge? There's the meteorology. Oh, Jesus, the greatest meteorologist who ever has lived. I'd like to think that he knows the storm's coming. I'd like to even think that maybe he made the storm. There's the mountain, there's the sea. So the lesson. Great storms require great calming. So here's your questions. You are the modern day disciples. You are the Talmudid. You will follow him. You've chosen to. I hope you've chosen to. If you've chosen not to follow him, then remember that the harvest will come and the sickle will take down the harvest. So those that follow in the harvest will go to heaven and live eternally with Jesus. Those who do not follow him will be cut and discarded, and spend eternity separate from all that is good and all that is love in hell, to suffer eternal torment. That is a choice that, if you've not made that choice, I'd like you to make that choice today. Talk to me or Pastor Martin or anyone about how to follow Jesus and be certain at the time of the judgment that you will spend forever in heaven. So as a disciple, and I will take for granted that all of you that are here have decided to follow Jesus. You are now his disciples, chosen by him. You've not chosen. If you thought you chose him, you're wrong. He's chosen you. And as you've been chosen, and as you follow him, there will be great exhilaration and wonderful moments, but there'll be a lot of sea quakes. And there are those that preach that if you follow Jesus, there'll be no quakes and no squalls. It will all be sunshine. That's not true. It will be difficult, but as I've heard said, it's much better to live a dark life in the light than to live a dark life in the dark. So, are we listening closely? Because as you listen, more will be given to you. Or are you spending your time doing other things and ignoring what's being taught? It's important to spend time with Jesus learning. It's important to follow the King. To know your destiny in the faith, you must follow the one who created your path. Are you seeking Him or are you ignoring Him? Are you sowing seed or are you sulking in your storm? Are you trusting in the difficulties or are you afraid? Which is a normal human emotion, to be afraid, to be terrified when the water's coming into the boat. And you're going to think, as I have many a time, when the storm is raging, Jesus must be asleep because I can't hear Him. I don't see Him, and I don't see any miraculous calm anywhere on the horizon. Let's reassure one another. Let's encourage each other. He's ready to get up, and He's ready to say, "Shh, be still, quiet, I'm here." Do storms rage around you, and is your meteorology failing you? You've got the greatest meteorologist on your side. How are you relating to the strange birds who come into the bush? This is a challenge for people who are new in the faith, who still have old habits, who still carry old habits, who've been in the faith for a long time. People who come from the outside into our body, and we say, I don't know if they fit in. This bush is designed to take everybody in under its covering, and there are many branches that we can fill. Have you cast any seed? That's only our job. That's our one and only job. We aren't going to make it grow. We're not the gardeners. We're just the casters. And then this importantly, who among you is asking this question, what manner of man is this? Well, He's not just a man. He's God in the flesh. So He's not a man. Don't think of Him as a man. Relate to Him as He does to us as a man, but remember that He's God and should be followed, should be listened to, should be served. Are you seeking the teacher? Are you understanding more and more, or are things being taken away? Do you want to be like the Savior of your soul? And do you have a decent boat? And what do I mean by that? This is your boat, and this is your captain. He's not the commander, but He is the captain of the boat. And this is a very special boat where people come together to encourage each other while the storms rage. Listen to His teaching. He puts His heart and soul into that for you. Disciples locate themselves within the ministry of the kingdom, and they are assured that though opposition rises, God will yet reign, and the harvest will be ultimately realized. Keep sowing seed. Amen.